Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the
morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
As a county commissioner, I like to bring up things on the agenda, so I respect him, bring whatever he wants on the agenda, but I think you're going to keep doing it over and over, and it's just going to waste a bunch of time, and I personally think it's full-blown grandstanding on this. And so there was talk about taxing on the bridge, sales tax increase, franchise fees, all these different things, impact taxes. All these different things, which I fully oppose all of them. And I always said we need to find ways of looking for giving the citizens, giving them lower taxes, lower costs. I mean, our economy is absolutely terrible thanks to Joe Biden. He is destroying our country. And I hate to interrupt you, Commissioner, but
grandstand much?
Respectfully, you're the one who brought this item up. So
you're a grandstander. No, you're a grandstander. We're all grandstanders. All right, Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last week. Very interesting stuff. Very entertaining. Also very interesting. The voice you heard the most there was Commissioner James Calkins, District 3. The other voice you heard there at the end was Commissioner Kerry Smith, District 2. I got to work it through in my head where they are located. Anyway, so, and the argument that they were having was over impact fees. The basic question here is, in previous meetings, Sam Parker had said, let's put a moratorium on talking about impact fees for a year. That passed sort of in a controversial way. And Kerry Smith says, no, we need to have a conversation about impact fees. That's when you have a new construction that pays several thousand dollars extra in order to offset the cost of building the roads and the storm drains and things that would go, that would basically serve the new subdivision that they exist in. That's the simplest understanding of impact fees, okay? And so Kerry Smith says, no, we need to have this conversation. A lot of citizens in Santa Rosa County want to have a conversation on impact fees. And what they're also saying is we're in no way going to consider giving you a 0.5% local option sales tax increase next year unless you do impact fees, okay? Long-standing conversation about all of this. And as always, there was – I'm so torn because there's so much substance in this conversation – but the drama is entertaining, and it's often involving a guy named Michael Stevens, who is a kind of a proxy for James Calkins. He's, you know, like his buddy or whatever, and gets up there, and he's the one that tries to get thrown out of the meeting every time he talks.
But, yeah, I'm ready just to go ahead and move
Mike
on.
Mike Stevens, I was on the list, and I was looked over. I should have spoke a while ago.
Let me explain something to you, Mr. Stevens.
Don't smart mouth me.
I don't even know what that means.
You have to let me recognize you, okay? You don't get up here and just bully your way up to the board like that. Nope. Hush. I know it's hard, but you can do it. Follow directions.
Why you got to use terms like bully?
I'm not a bully, Mr. Carey. Be respectful to the taxpayer that pays your salary. All I wanted to do was talk
still
about the impact
you,
fee.
Still
haven't recognized you. Oh, and this, of course, keeps going, you know?
I'm
going
to address the fact that I had a board member just sit there and so I get that this is your plant, Mr. Calkins. I get it.
Talking about Stevens.
Okay. You want to start this mess with me right now. You're barking up the wrong tree, son.
Respectfully, sir, you called the gentleman a bully, and that was wrong. Okay, those are our citizens, and you shouldn't call anybody names.
So Sam Parker is kind of running this portion of the meeting. He's just like, That's all I got to say about that.
All right, well, we're going to move on to a different
So there
agenda.
Goes my First Amendment rights. Is that correct? I want to make sure we know that my First Amendment rights to the Constitution of the United States of America is going to be violated.
Yeah, that's not accurate, but okay, fine. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3. We didn't get to the substance, but I can't not play some of that. It's just so entertaining and awful. But we'll get to the substance of this question about impact fees, because there is a lot to unpack on this. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Sir, quit bullying me to do traffic. You don't mind. Brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company.
Don't smoke mouth me.
I will not smoke. Is that what he said?
Yes,
smoke mouth. That's
I
so
know.
Funny.
I don't know what that means.
But I appreciate everybody that wants to make their area better. Brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company with over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview. We got a text. There's tire and debris in the middle of West 9 Mile at the intersection with 29. So you want to watch out for that, certainly. And if you have traffic tips, text them in. Or you want to smoke mouth Andrew, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, so here's the basic issue, is there were two meetings, okay? There was the Monday meeting and the Thursday meeting, and the one was kind of the setup for the second one. And what Sam Parker was talking about in the first meeting, and part of the reason that he, you know, because he raised this question of impact fees, he says we shouldn't have impact fees. A lot of people want them. A lot of people do not want them. The short version is that the builders don't want them because it raises the cost and then makes it harder to sell houses. That also makes it harder to get into your first home if you're moving up from renting, right? It also makes it more expensive to get into a home if you move here from somewhere else because it's a cost right on top of the house. Anyway, but the other argument is, well, it's all these dang new people that are causing stress to our roads and bridges and law enforcement and schools, and so they ought to pay for some of the impact of that. Well, the question, though, is, aren't they already? And Sam Parker used the example of his house versus his in-law's house.
If we can look at that, if we can look at paying your fair share, because I can tell you, when I built my house, guess what? My tax bill every year was more than the neighbors that had already lived there. Okay? My in-laws pay less than one-third of the taxes I pay. Guess what? They have the same exact number of cars we do. We have the same number of kids that go to public school, zero. So you argue to me, how do we have different impacts? So, hey, guess what? I pay more taxes than they do. It is what it is. But to now somehow say that I need to pay an additional tax on top of that.
Because what he's getting at is that, and again, there's a lot to this puzzle to understand it, but if you buy a home, because of the way the law works in Florida, you get a homestead exemption that deducts the taxable value of your home. Okay, so your taxable value is going to be less than the retail cost of your house, right? Then every year, that amount is only allowed to go up, the taxable amount is only allowed to go up 3%, so that you don't get gentrified out of your home, so that somebody on a fixed income doesn't suddenly discover that their taxes doubled in a year. That's what that's supposed to do. If it's something you own, it goes up 10% maximum. Okay, so over time, what that means is, if you buy a home at a reasonable price, let's say, you know, 10 years ago, you bought a home at, I don't know, 200 grand, when you could buy a home at 200 grand, and now that home is worth 400. Well, you're not paying taxes on 400. You're not even paying tax on 200 because there's, again, homestead deductions. But let's ignore that for the second. It went up to 203. It went up to 206. It went up to, you know, it added, well, sorry, 206, 212, because it added $6,000 a year taxable base every year. And in the intervening 10 years, it's only gone up maybe 70 grand because of compounding. Okay, so you're paying on a $400,000 home taxes as if it were worth 270. Right? So you are underpaying on your taxes. On the other hand, somebody who comes in and builds, or a couple that gets married and they buy their first house, they buy a $400,000 house, they're paying at the 400. So they're paying something on the order of 50% more than you are. But they're using the same services. And if they are paying more just because they bought recently or built recently, either, and they're using the same services, how is that fair? That's what he's getting at. And now on top of that, you want to make them pay an impact fee. Well, every year they're already paying kind of an impact fee in the sense that they're paying a much greater share of the county's tax burden through their ad valorem because it's based on something closer to the retail value of their home rather than something that's only been allowed to go up 3% every single year. And that is a fair point. That the people who buy or build recently pay a disproportionately high share of the ad valorem taxes in a county, and people who are lucky enough to stay in a home a long time and have been here for a while, and of course you can transfer some of that when you if you move up, that's true, but that, again, not relevant for the conversation, they're not paying enough, basically. And this can be thousands of dollars and even tens of thousands of dollars over the course of 5 or 10 years. So the new people are already paying more, was Sam's point. Now, he comes back in the subsequent meeting and makes it very interesting because he followed this up on Thursday. And he basically said, look, I think that we ought to talk about cutting the ad valorem rate next year. I'm willing to talk about impact fees, maybe. But I think the fair thing would be to cut. Now, I hope he's not talking about cutting across the board because you have the same basic problem of somebody who's lived here a long time isn't really paying enough. And by the way, just think about this a different way. I did a, like, this is super quick, like, while I'm on the air math, okay? But just to give you an idea of what we're talking about in terms of how much needs to get paid in order for counties to do their business. In Santa Rosa County, you got a school budget of about a little shy of $500 million. All right. And you got a county budget of just shy of $200 million. So 500 and 200. So you're about $670 million altogether. If you divide that by 193,000 people, that's $3,470, almost $3,500 a person is the like total bulk, just round numbers cost of having the two major functions, the schools and then law enforcement and fire and roads and maintenance and all that stuff, okay? It's about $3,470 a person. So if your property taxes and you are, if you're a family of five, okay, that means that it's about, you know, $18,000 a year, $17,000 a year for you. And if your property tax is $1,000 and in sales tax you're putting in, you know, $500, I mean, you're way underpaying because other people with bigger homes are paying much more, lots more. Right? It's a tax the rich system, property taxes are, because the person who's got a $2 million home, it's not like they're getting four times as much service as the person who's got a $500,000 home, but they are paying four times as much, roughly. So in Santa Rosa County, you got to raise $3,500 a person total over the course of a year. How are you going to do it? Okay, so the person who's been, you know, limited on their taxable base on their home for 15 years. They're not paying their fair share, but somebody who bought a new home is paying more than. That's the point. By the way, as a side note, in Escambia County, okay, $800,000 or $800 million school budget, $720 million county budget, $1.5 billion put together, divided by 330,000 people, $4,600 a person, $1,200 more per person in Escambia County. Schools are the same, $2,400 per head total. $2,175 per person for county business versus $1,000 in Santa Rosa County. It's 2.2 times as expensive to run the county in Escambia as it is in Santa Rosa. Now, is Escambia delivering 2.2 times the service of Santa Rosa? I don't think so. I don't know what that problem means. I just discovered that today. I had no idea. It's much cheaper per person to live in Santa Rosa County, just FYI. So anyway, back to the point. That money's got to get paid somehow. How does it get paid? There's a lot of funding sources. But the basic issue is property taxes primarily fall on people who have bought recently because of the increase in taxable, the limit in the increase in taxable base, and or people who buy expensive. So the wealthy pay far more in property taxes, and there's no justification for that. A family of five living in a trailer park and a family of five living in a mansion both tax the system the same. In fact, the trailer park folks probably tax it more because it's more likely to have fire, more likely to have law enforcement, right? I mean, just you think about it. But they're paying a lot more to live in the wealthy home. Why? Well, because we have a system that taxes the rich. Is that fair? Anyway, a lot of stuff to think about, 437-1620. But if Sam Parker is going to come back with a proposal that tries to make property taxes work more fairly, I'm listening because I hate property tax. I think the principle doesn't make sense. Why do you have to rent your property from the government? Make it all a sales tax. Even though I'm not advocating for an income tax, but at least I understand the concept of an income tax. But the property tax is crazy. Like, I've always thought that it was crazy. But that's how we get all our money. 437-1620. Candy's got traffic. I don't know. Sorry. Where am I going now? We already did traffic. We're so late. Well, let's do it again, and then we'll take a break because we're so close to the next
sure.
one.
Yeah, sure. And the only thing that we're seeing right now is debris in the roadway at 9 Mile and 29. So caution there, and that's West 9 Mile and 29. 437-1620. We have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's 624.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Join Dallas Brooks with the University of Florida Milton Campus this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dallas will be talking about the two transfer-based degree programs offered at the Milton Campus, Natural Resource Conservation and Plant Science. There are scholarship and career opportunities in these fields and so much more. That's all this morning at 10 with the University of West Florida in Milton and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Democrats just want to win the next election, and they're trying to do it with ceaseless money printing. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon. It is critical to protect your retirement right now with a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get a free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. There's nothing to buy and no obligation at all. Text the word SHELTER to 989898 to get a free info kit on gold.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Good morning, 627 here on News Radio 92.3. I find myself all worked up about property taxes today. It's just, you know, I'm listening to Kerry Smith propose impact fees and Sam Parker say don't talk about impact fees, and then all of the individuals talk about this in Santa Rosa County. They're having this conversation. You know, and then I start to thinking about, again, I'm so appreciative to Sam Parker and Edwin Henry for bringing this up, that the people who buy the new home or build the new home, they pay way too much compared to the share, you know, and I've always objected to the idea that the person who buys a nice home has to pay so much more than the people who buy not nice homes. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Why do you have to rent your property back from the government? Somebody texted me in and said, you know, our system is really good at financially penalizing success. A tax in perpetuity for property already owned is theft, plain and simple. Yeah, I agree. You know, but you got to raise the money somehow. How do you raise it? What's a fair way to do it? Well, I mean, you could have a head tax. You know, you could just say everybody owes $3,000 a year, you know. Just have to pay a, you know, just write a check to the county. Oh, people can't afford that. Well, you know, the system we got right now doesn't make much sense. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hundreds of auto workers in Michigan have been told not to report to work today. Again, this is due to the UAW strike. Ford says another 350 employees have been laid off at about two different plants that make transmissions and axles. Those factories make parts for the Chicago assembly plant, which was included in the strike last Friday. Morgan State University in Baltimore has canceled most of its homecoming week activities after that shooting that happened on Tuesday night that left five young people wounded. So far, no arrests have been made there. And some people who are planning to go to the to Massachusetts for the Army-Navy game apparently are having trouble finding a place to stay, and that may be in part due to migrants occupying hotel rooms there. A travel agent for military families says at least one hotel in Foxborough has now pulled back 70 rooms for that game weekend because they're occupied by migrants.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Somebody texted in and says, I'm my brother's keeper. If you make five times more than your spouse, would it be fair to just split the bills down the middle? Well, obviously, spouses are a little bit different. But if you and your neighbor, you know, you make five more times than they do, why should you have to not pay more for that? My answer is this. You don't understand money. You get more money because you did more good for people. That's what money means. So five times more income means that you actually benefited the society five times as much. And now, on top of that, you got to give a greater share of that away to the society? Progressive taxation is insane. I mean, it's philosophically unjustifiable if you actually understand what money means. But I'm glad for the text because we got to talk about these things.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. The Biden administration is moving to speed up construction of about 17 miles of border wall in South Texas by waiving federal laws to get around environmental reviews. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, meantime, is in Mexico City.
Secretary Blinken, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and others are in Mexico to talk with that country's foreign affairs secretary, as well as reps from Colombia and Panama, about slowing down migration and how to protect those who say they need asylum.
Fox's Jill Nato. A pregnant woman on a bus in Holyoke, Massachusetts, is hit by a bullet fired during a fight outside at an intersection.
She was taken to a nearby hospital in critical condition. When she arrived, medical personnel delivered the baby, who needed life-saving medical services. But despite their best efforts, that infant tragically passed away.
That's Maria Wilson with Fox 6 Western Massachusetts News. Police say that they have three men in custody. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 72. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Several people remain in the hospital today after a vehicle crash on Highway 98.
We had six patients transported. We had one vehicle traveling eastbound on US 98. We had one vehicle that was traveling westbound that began a left turn into this apartment complex here. They collided.
That is FHP Trooper Rachel Rudd, who talked with Channel 3 yesterday. And four people in one vehicle were seriously hurt, including two kids and an infant. The driver, identified as a 75-year-old woman, FHP troopers say a two-year-old boy and the infant were not wearing seatbelts or using child restraints. The driver of the other vehicle was also seriously hurt, a passenger suffering minor injuries as well. And right now, no word on the condition of anyone involved. We will update you when we learn more on this later today. The American Heart Association is leading the charge to make sure high school students here in Escambia County get trained in CPR. This is after the passage of House Bill 157 in 2021. Students have been required to complete 1 hour of training, but it's not hands-on training.
Our goal is to be able to train every 11th grade student within the Escambia County Public School District.
And that's American Heart Association's Inger Berg, who tells Channel 3 their goal is to train every 11th grader in the school district. October's National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. NAS Whiting Field has unveiled a new blue bench that honors victims of domestic violence and sexual assaults.
We are helping to show that there is not a stigma around being a victim of sexual assault. If you're victimized, then you've lost your liberty and you're injured, and you struggle to then recover and share who you are with the world.
And that is Milton Mayor Heather Lindsay, who talked with Channel 3. And a ribbon cutting event took place yesterday at the Fleet and Family Support Center. And they do say if you are in an abusive relationship, you can always contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Their number is 800-799-7233. Governor Ron DeSantis unveiling his latest fundraising numbers, and he says they, quote, shattered expectations. He announced yesterday that his presidential campaign was able to raise $15 million in the third quarter. He calls it the most emphatic signal yet that his momentum is continuing to build. Some Republicans don't see it the same way, though. One strategist who worked in Senator Marco Rubio's campaign says it's running on fumes. Some Citizens property insurance customers may have their policies transferred soon. The Florida Insurance Commissioner Michael Jaworski signing orders this week that allows private companies to take over 150,000 Citizens policies. The goal is for the state to depopulate Citizens to reduce its liability. So far this year, the state has approved private insurers to take about 386,000 policies. The transfers should take effect by Christmas. And if a private company offers you a rate that's less than 20% above what you were already paying to Citizens,
state law requires you to accept that. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
This brought to you by New South Window Solutions, and we're watching an area that may have debris in the road. It's 9 Mile and 29 right there at that intersection. There was a tire and some debris after what I assume was an accident. If you see an accident or a slowdown or have a traffic tip, text it in if you could, 437-1620. Be careful on the roads. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 80s, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. For Friday, 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, temperatures warming up into the 80s, partly cloudy skies. Temperatures Friday night dropping into the 60s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 in Pensacola. 73 in Gulf Breeze and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Clorox has revealed how much it anticipates a cyber attack that the company recently experienced will weigh on its financial performance. Clorox first informed investors about the incident, which involved unauthorized activity in its IT systems back in August. For the latest quarter, Clorox projects a year-over-year drop of 28% to 28% in net sales. The now contained cyber attack had brought wide-scale disruption of Clorox's operations, including order processing delays and significant product outages. The Justice Department says companies can face more lenient treatment if they report to prosecutors potential criminal misconduct uncovered during the merger and acquisition process. Under a new policy announced Wednesday, an acquiring company that discloses potential wrongdoing at a company being acquired within 6 months of the deal's closing date and fully cooperates and fixes the underlying problem within a year of closing can presume it won't be prosecuted by the Justice Department. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The policies we lack. The candidates. choice, the primaries. Is it fiction or fact? Inflation, recession, buying power, we lack. Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world. There's only one.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. Do not wind me up to talk about taxes, unless you want me to talk a lot about taxes. Eric Gilmore is pinch hitting this week. He's the director of public safety for West Marino, who is out all this week. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, as always. For those who do not know, Director of Public Safety oversees things like Escambia County Fire Rescue, Emergency Medical Service, Emergency Response. Am I forgetting one? I feel like I'm forgetting one. 911 call center.
Emergency Management, 911, and Beach Lifeguards. Yes, sir.
And Beach Lifeguards. Very good. Exactly right. So I just figured we'd talk with Eric about some of these things because, you know, they're all always very interesting, the stuff that's going on in these ways. So first question for you is, let's talk about EMS, because that's been the problem child for a long time, you know, just trying to get it all work properly. From my point of view, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from my point of view, the biggest challenge that EMS has had for the longest time is the wait times, having enough staff, enough ambulances, enough opportunity to get patients out of the ambulance and into the hospital and then leave with the ambulance to go pick up somebody else. That's been the challenge. And when I look at the reports, I had thought post-COVID, new hires, more ambulances, we'd really start to see some changes. And unless I'm wrong, I still don't see big difference in the wait times alleviating.
No, you don't. And the reason is because we're still staffing off a 2010 staffing model, where our call load was not as high as it is now. We have an abnormally high call load compared to EMS systems our size. Usually some of the EMS systems our size and to the east of us, they're running, you know, 15,000, 20,000 calls a year. We're running around, you know, 66,000 calls a year. So we have
I'm sorry, is that like Santa Rosa is 15,000 a year?
15,000 a year for Santa Rosa County. Yes, sir. 16,000 a year.
And we run 60, and the population of Santa Rosa is a little more than 2/3. So we're running four times as many for maybe 60% more people?
That's correct.
That's what?
Yes. Well, I mean, when you consider some of the calls that we get, I mean, we get low acuity calls where a layperson, you or I, would probably take a family member to an urgent care or maybe to our primary physician, where people don't, they just think, hey, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to get an ambulance here. And the mindset is if they go in an ambulance to the hospital, that they get priority treatment at the hospital, which means they go straight to the back or they get seen first. And that's not the case. You'll get re-triaged by the medical staff at the hospital. Then you might be put in the waiting room. We've had that multiple times where you get re-triaged and put out in the waiting room. So there's a myth out there that you go by ambulance, you get priority treatment and triage.
Like people are deliberately calling 911 because they think it'll get them to the front of the line at the hospital.
That is correct.
Oh,
and the calls we're getting are sick calls. Okay. I've had a headache for 2 days. I've been vomiting for 2 days. I fell down 3 days ago and now I need to go to the hospital and get checked out. I got hit in the eye by something 2 days ago. These are things that just not necessarily an ambulance is needed. If you've got a primary care physician, or there's plenty of urgent cares in our county, but people think that they just need to take an ambulance ride. So the
60,000, you know, having four times for 60% more people, that's a problem. Or not even 60%, I think it's a little bit less. Anyway, but, you know, having that much more for not that much more, that's a problem. But then you have things like, you know, the hospital is short-staffed, and so the paramedics have to wait there, you know, hold the wall, you guys call it, I know. Being short on trucks and people because the staffing model is outdated, as you say. But aren't we, I mean, I know the answer, so I'm asking this a little bit facetiously, but at least if people are paying the bill, it wouldn't be such a problem because it's a pay for service, right? But they're not paying their bills, right?
That is correct. Yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head. It is a fee for service, which means EMS is not funded by tax dollars. We don't get anything from general revenue. When you call, then that when we collect that bill, we collect that, you know, that fee for your service that you asked for, that's how EMS is totally funded in Escambia County. So we have to generate our money to be able to pay our staff, to be able to put equipment on the trucks, to be able to, and which we did, we asked for more staffing this budget cycle. So EMS has to be able to fund those additional EMTs and paramedics to get our staffing levels up. So, you know, EMS has worked very hard. It's not, when we took over, we knew it wasn't going to be a quick fix. We all knew this. I mean,
yeah.
But it takes a little while to grow the organization, to make sure that we have the right resources out there, and to make sure we can generate money so we can pay for our staff and add additional staff to our staffing levels.
Is it accurate to say that, as a population, that the people who are abusing the EMS system for non-emergency calls or for whatever other reason, that those are also the same people who aren't paying their bills? I mean, am I in the right vicinity in understanding this?
You are quasi. I wouldn't say everybody. I wouldn't say it's 100%.
Sure, sure. I know. I mean, generally speaking.
But I mean, generally speaking, it's a good percentage, yes, sir, that are not paying their bills. As we talked about when we did the bad debt write-off, we found out that, 60 or 70% was, the non-payers, people who didn't have insurance, and then those people who did have insurance but didn't meet their deductible just hadn't been paying their bills.
I'm assuming that we're not the only place that has to deal with this, so I'm wondering if we can't learn some lessons from other, counties that are maybe similarly situated to us. But we'll come back to this in a second. Eric Gilmore is the Director of Public Safety. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or accidents right now. Watch for debris in the roadway at 29 and 9 Mile. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I was asking the question, Eric, about, could we learn from other people? Are there ways to do it better? Is that a fruitful path to go down?
It is a fruitful path. So we can always learn from other agencies and organizations. We have reached out to other entities that are comparable to us, that are not a fire-based EMS, that are just a third-party provider like a county-based system. And we've talked to those guys and said, hey, and Allison Rogers has helped us out, especially after this last discussion with bad debt write-off. So we're trying to get, what does everybody else look like out there? Are we bad? Or what are they doing something different than what we're doing?
Right.
Are they collecting fees or collecting those getting that money easier than what we are? And we found out that right now, as it stands, everybody's in either as worse shape as we are or worse.
Okay.
with their write-off. So we're comparable to everybody with a county-based EMS system. But we've got some plans in place. I mean, we're working with our billing department to try to steer people toward insurance. If they didn't know about it, how can they get signed up for Medicaid and Medicare?
Yeah.
Chandra Smiley, I had a conversation with her. She kind of let me in on what she's seeing as far as how she's trying to get people signed up for these services. Unfortunately, Medicaid and Medicare is wanting to drop, and they're really scrutinizing people from getting on their services that they want to make sure that you really need it. So and every all the insurances in the state of Florida are really scrutinizing everybody right now. So it's a little harder than what you think. It's not as easy as just signing up, saying, I got it. You got to meet certain needs, certain definitions, and you got to show your income levels. And people are not very forthcoming in showing how much they earn. So there are things that people had to jump through to get those services that necessarily aren't willing to do that. So, but we are working on some things to try to get it out there and try to get coverage and make sure that everybody who's using our system and not paying, that we try to steer them in the right direction.
I'm going to rephrase you just a little bit. The insurance companies are really scrutinizing people these days. I'll put it that way. A little twist on the phrase for me. Hey, one of the other things, and just because, I mean, you and I could talk for an hour because there's so much stuff. This is one of those, like, you can just say agreed or whatever, but what people may not realize is that all of these surplus unnecessary calls to EMS also create a problem, because if there's no ambulance available, you'll dispatch a fire crew, sometimes a fire truck, and now you got an engine showing up to somebody that's feeling chest pains, which is fine. Okay, we got to take care of people, but the cost to wear and tear and all of dispatching a fire engine to a paramedic call is even that much greater, but they have to treat it the same way, and then they're not available to fight a fire if one comes up. So just this kind of the cascade of things being out of balance is a big deal. Agreed, Eric?
I agree. It is a ripple effect. You're absolutely right. So you delay other things, other services,
Right. But the one thing I just wanted to ask you real quick, before God, we always run out of time with you. I know Commissioner Bergosh has talked quite a bit about trying to enhance lifeguard protection out at Perdido Key next year. I think he's either bought or working on buying a couple of lifeguards towers. And, you know, I guess you're probably going to have to buy some ATVs and things like that. But I don't get the perception that there are just a big number of potential lifeguards waiting to come to work. Like, you know, Dave Greenwood seems to always be scrambling every year to make sure to get enough to staff. And you got all the issues with age limited, time constraint limited. They're not in school, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, are we going to be able to find lifeguards to hire for Perdido Key to actually staff? I mean, I love the idea of it, but is it, are the people available?
Good question. So there's several things in the works right now. We will do a drive for, you know, of course, lifeguards like we do every year. And we do barely get enough to cover what we're supposed to cover right now. Now, having said that real quick, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, we're in discussion right now to whether they either want to renew the contract that we put lifeguards out there at Johnson Beach in those areas. If they don't want to renew the contract, and it's up to them totally to put lifeguards out there, then that will be my surplus of lifeguards. So I will have lifeguards if we don't go through with the Gulf Islands National Seashore and they don't want to put lifeguards out there. So I'll have manpower and bodies for that.
And
if they do come back to me in November, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and assuming they don't try to create their own lifeguard system in-house or something like that, which means they'd be drawn on that same population.
That is correct. But my understanding is if they don't do the program, they won't do the program, so they won't be taking our man pool. So
okay.
That is, you know, that. So if they drop it, they're going to drop it altogether because there actually there's no requirement for them to have lifeguards out there. It's always been a something they've always done just for enhanced safety. And I agree, enhanced safety needs to be out there. We always want enhanced safety. But we'll do a big push. And, you know, it's not going to be an absorbent amount of lifeguards out there at Perdido Key. If we do, if Gulf Island still wants the lifeguards and we still get enough for Pensacola Beach, it's not going to be like one in every access. It'll be a roving patrol. It'll be something that's going to be mobile. But it's not going to be as scaled up as what we see at Pensacola Beach, and unless we just get a surplus of people. But we will have something out there that's going to cover that area.
Okay. And also, and I know this is an uncharitable rephrase, but our solution is to shift the unsafe beaches of Perdido over to the unsafe beaches of Fort Pickens. I mean, you know, that's not a great answer, but I get the reality you're dealing with, and if Gulf Islands decides to, you know, that's not your call to make, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, like I said, we could talk to you forever. There's all kinds of stuff. We didn't get to, like, the CORE program having its success to get people off of opioids. I love that. And, you know, the recent big success with the Baptist move, kudos to your staff and all the planning that went into that, and to Chief Torsell, who's done this before. I know he was key to that. But anyway, Eric Gilmore, he's the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. As always, Eric, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Always. 652 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Rumors of Fleetwood Mac, the world's finest tribute to Fleetwood Mac, returns to the stage in 2023. A brand new show celebrating the very best of Fleetwood Mac. A unique opportunity for fans both old and new to rediscover the songs and performances that have ensured Fleetwood Mac's place as one of the most loved groups of all time. Personally endorsed by Fleetwood Mac founding member Mick Fleetwood. Live at Pensacola Sanger Theater on November 22nd. The ultimate tribute to Fleetwood Mac. Tickets are on sale now from Ticketmaster.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. First City Art Center's 17th annual Pumpkin Patch is Friday and Saturday at the FCAC campus. Choose a hand-blown glass and handcrafted pumpkin and support local artists. See firstcityart.org for more. Soaring excitement and thrilling musicality come together for opening night of the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's 98th season, Saturday night at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSanger.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
National average for a gallon of gas, 376. Florida average is 352. Mississippi is the best in the land at 320. And California is back under $6 at 593. So, celebration. Cheap gas in California. It's only 593 a gallon. 316 east at the Walmart in Navarre, 317 west at the Walmart in, Tiger Point area, Midway. 313 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 339 in proper is your best price. On 9 Mile, on Highway 90 in Pea Ridge, you got 317 at the Murphy, 319 at the CEFCO in Milton, and then 319 at the Raceway going through Pace. In Pensacola, 303 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, 307 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and coming in from the southwest side, looks like 316 at the Navy Boulevard Murphy Station. Candy has traffic on the fives this morning.
And again, not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. Do watch for debris in the roadway at 9 Mile and 29, and that's the only slowdown that we are seeing. Of course, there is construction on 98 westbound as you approach Avalon, so that may slow things down just a little bit this morning. Otherwise, good to go. 437-1620. If you have those traffic tips, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has great quality used cars that are almost new. I don't love the phrase used because it kind of, I don't know, you get a picture of something that's maybe not in great condition or whatever. What they really specialize in is cars that are, you know, one owner previously, typically, and they're in great condition, and they've got, you know, maybe if it's a year old, it's got 12,000 miles on it. If it's 2 years old, it might have 25,000 miles, something like that. But cars that are just in good condition, and you can drive them for a long time after you buy them from them, and at great prices. I know that was our experience. That's been so many other people's experience is, they went to Orlando to not get a car for me, but that's how they acquired the car that I wound up buying from them. And I was like, man, this is a great car. You can't find these anywhere. Oh, that's the price? Well, we'll buy it. I mean, it's just like it. We were just test driving a car, and we wound up buying it and have been loving them ever since. They take care of you after the sale. That's crazy for a used car place, but that really is what they do. Frontier Motors, a different place, a different way to do used cars, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. In the newsroom right now, David Wayne has our headlines. David?
Private funeral services for late U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein are happening in San Francisco today. The service initially was going to be open to the public, but due to increased security, that was changed to allow only invited guests. Round two of Japan's release of treated radioactive wastewater from the Fukushima nuclear power plant now underway. Japan began releasing its second batch of wastewater into the ocean this morning.
Well done saying that name in a way that doesn't get us an FCC fine.
Thank you very much. And the search is on for a new House Speaker after Kevin McCarthy was ousted this week. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, both considered frontrunners. Some people have even brought up former President Donald Trump for the job. He was asked about it this week.
A lot of people have asked me about it. I'm focused. You know, we're leading. I don't know. I'm sure you don't read too much in the papers. But we're leading by like 50 points. President, you know, my focus is totally on that. If I can help them during the process, I would do it.
So he didn't say no.
He's probably not eligible. If you've been indicted for a crime that costs you more than 2 years in jail and you get removed from leadership, it doesn't specifically say you can't be put into leadership, but the principle is clearly that you're not supposed to be subject to indictment and operating as the Speaker of the House. So probably not President Trump, I would think. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. Very quick future news here. Will Santa Rosa County propose or bring back impact fees in the next year?
No. Yes?
No. Will they decrease or change property taxes in the next year? Something that Sam Parker's been talking about.
No.
I'm also going to say no, but there's a lot to be talked about within this vicinity.